Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Mark Bestel. The New Testament reading for today is from Luke 2, verses 41 to 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the Christmas season, we marvel at the incarnation of the Christ, which is to say, we marvel at the person and natures of the Messiah, that he is both true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary. Our reading from Luke 2 and the historic occasion it records not only illustrates this truth as if a mere story, but evidences and manifests this marvelous mystery. First, consider how the Holy Spirit teaches us to meditate upon this. Notice that the text is bookended by and wrapped in a refrain that does not merely record the history of Jesus' childhood, but speaks to the very nature of Christ's humanity. Though not actually included in the day's reading, we ought remember verse 40, as it immediately precedes our text, saying, "And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." To grow and become strong and to become filled with wisdom is not the nature of the omnipotent and omniscient God, but it is the very nature of man, even the perfect and righteous man. And so, again at the end of our text, a similar refrain. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Much like the cloths at Jesus' birth, these two verses, this refrain, swaddle the whole text in the wondrous truth that, as the Creed humbly marvels, he became man. But what of the rest of this text? Jesus' stay in the Jerusalem temple and his parents' frantic search for him is not about him being true man, but true God. In daily life, Joseph and Mary perhaps forgot that about Jesus' identity, so that they were astonished and did not understand when the child spoke plainly of his divinity. "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Or it might be translated from the Greek, "in my Father's things," or "about my Father's business." Do we too easily forget that this one whose birth we celebrate, whose childhood we commemorate, this one on whom we depend and in whom we hope, do we yet sometimes forget that he is the one chosen, and thus the title Christ or Messiah, he is chosen to carry out the Father's business of redeeming the creation he loves, chosen to fulfill the expectations of the temple in the greater temple of his own body. And to carry out that business, this Christ was promised from Eden to be the one seed of the woman And packaged within that seed, how does the Small Catechism confess it? Both true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary. Perhaps we don't forget that catechism statement and its confession, but perhaps we sometimes forget its ramification for our own daily lives and our own certain eternity. We forget that Jesus, our flesh and blood brother, can sympathize with us in all our weaknesses, and that he who was born like us, he who tasted death like us, has risen and ascended as the first fruits of that in which we, the second fruits, will be like him, the apostle says, for we shall one day see him as he is. Perhaps in our daily lives we also forget that this one can do more than sympathize with us, has already done more than sympathize with us, but he is our Lord and our God, very God of very God, yet willing to take on our humanity and substitute himself as the sufficient sacrifice, that sacrifice to which all sacrifices of the old temple looked forward to, that sacrifice that is the one true sacrifice and sufficient sacrifice in the temple of his body, to atone for our sins, and not only ours but the sins of the whole world. This is the Father's business with which the Son joyfully occupied himself, even saying, I have come to do not my will but the will of him who sent me. His is the life of righteousness and the one innocent death to serve as substitute for the whole world, for the certain salvation for all who hope in this Christ of God. This God-man's birth we have celebrated. This God-man's childhood we can commemorate. Like Mary before us, we may ponder all these things and treasure them in our heart. And in meditating upon the history of the boy Jesus in the temple, we may be comforted that the God-man Messiah has always been faithful to his Father's business, that he might give to us the inheritance of his Father's house. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate Word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.